Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. I'd like to begin with my favorite, one of my very favorite scripture verses, which is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 in the Bible. It talks about the throne of grace and mercy, the throne of God. And Hebrews 4, 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That is prefaced by the scripture which talks about Jesus Christ as a great high priest, and that he knows what we're going through. He can relate to us because he's been through, he was tempted with everything that we ourselves are tempted with today, only he did not sin. We can always come to God in prayer to ask him for help for what we need. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy, but that he gives us the strength to live through, to go beyond, and to grow through, in and through, whatever circumstances we live through in this life. Jesus is the one to turn to when we don't know what else to do. It's unfortunate that so many times we don't come to him until we don't know what else to do instead of coming to him first. I'm sure you've heard the saying, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. There's nothing else to do. We've tried everything else and nothing has worked. So we'd better pray now. We don't have to wait to come to Jesus as a last resort. But that's what many of us do, especially those of us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't know him as the Lord, as our Savior. And so tonight I'd like to focus on prayer again, thinking about how we pray for those people whom we love. What kind of prayers do you pray for them? What kind of prayer requests do you have for those people who are suffering, those who are in need, for yourself? What kind of prayers do we pray for ourselves? And do we always pray according to God's will? This life is filled with suffering and hard times. And so many times we want to get out of, it's natural, it's only natural to want to be rid of the problems that we're living in, to get out of them quickly and to find relief for the problems. But many times the best thing for us is to learn how to deal with the situation and learn from it to, many times we can avoid repeating those circumstances and learning how to deal with the problem, learning how to avoid it in the future. If we don't learn from the problems, we may repeat the process that got us into the problems in the first place. And many times we pray for things that are contrary to God's will, because we're praying for what we want naturally. Many times the things that we're asking for are things that are not necessarily going to help us in the long run. They may be harmful to us, even though we can't see that when we're in the moment where we're in pain and suffering and just wanting relief. But God, if we can stop and think about God, that He knows what's going to happen in the future. He honestly knows what is best for us. If we believe that God exists, which I do, and believe that He knows all things, He knows the future, He can see the future, and He knows also what we are going to need before we're in the situation where we need something, then we can try to think about what He wants for us. We can ask Him what He wants for us. God says that He will provide for all of our needs. He tells us in the Bible that He is the Creator. He created everyone and everything. So there is nothing about us that He does not know. He tells us that He actually knows every hair on our head. He knows how many hairs there are on our heads. He knows everything about us. He created the stars, and He can name each one. Can you imagine that? That God knows how many stars there are and can name each and every one of them? We know so little. It's very difficult to imagine that God could know everything. But again, He tells us that in the Bible that He is the Creator. He created the universe, the entire universe, everyone and everything. And since He created us, He knows what He wants for us. And He wants what is best for us. And so He also wants to protect us. I do believe that the Bible is the true word of God, that it is without error. Although many people believe that there are errors, that there are problems in the Bible that don't make sense, we are not able to understand everything. But I do know that there is an answer and there's an explanation for what people call contradictions in the Bible. I've never found anyone who could tell me that there's a contradiction in the Bible that they could explain to me and tell me why they can't prove that there's a contradiction there. The Bible explains itself. There are references from one part of the Bible to another to support what is said in it. And I do believe that even though the Bible was written by men, that they were inspired by God, that He wrote the Bible through them. He used them as vessels, just as He can use us as vessels to help other people today. He used men, human beings, to write the Bible. He wrote it through them by the power of His Holy Spirit. Just as He can still speak to us, through us today. So when we pray, we are told in the Bible, we were given a sample of how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And many people pray that same prayer word for word, repeating it over and over and over again, when actually it was meant to be a sample of how to pray. But when we pray, we should ask for the will of God. And if we pray, asking for things that are contrary to His will, we shouldn't expect Him to answer. Because God is love. And truth. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And He cannot honor lies. And if we pray for something that is sinful, something that is contrary to the will of God, He's not going to answer. He's not going to respond by giving us something that could be sinful or that is contrary to His holy nature. He is holiness. And He wants us to be holy. He wants us to strive to be holy. He knows that we're not going to be, that we cannot be holy in ourselves, not while we're on this earth. But He wants us to live for that, to follow the example of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is one with God. We believe that Jesus Christ is one with Jehovah God. He's the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, that when we receive Him as Savior, when we confess our sins and come to God and acknowledge that we are sinful men, men and women, that we cannot save ourselves, that there is no way we can find our way to heaven on our own, that we need Jesus, and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior because we want to be with Him in heaven. We want to serve Him here in this life. He sends His Holy Spirit to be with us, to live in us. He's always with us in the world, waiting for us to come to Him. Because we cannot find God on our own. God is not lost. We are those who are lost. He knows exactly where we are. And He's waiting for us to come to Him, to come to the end of ourselves, as they say, to reach that point in life where we realize we need God for all of those things that we are lacking in life, for all of those things that cause us to feel unfulfilled. There is a place in our being, in the core of us, in our soul or in our spirit, however you would like to say it. There's something each one of us is missing. We cannot find it in this life, in another person or in material things, not in food or alcohol or drugs or relationships. There's only one thing that can fill it, and that is God, a personal relationship with God, because He made us for Himself. He made us to worship Him, to serve Him, to be in relationship with Him. And He wants to provide for us and to bless us and to use us to bless others, just as He used the biblical characters like Abraham when He called Abraham out to go to a far country that He would show him. And Abraham was blessed, originally called Abram. The Lord changed his name to Abraham. And he had faith in God and left to go to the far country. He didn't go there immediately, but he went to that far country, left his home, his father's house, his family home, his land, the culture of his people, and went following the Lord's leading, not knowing where he was going. But he believed in God and trusted Him. Abraham sinned just as the rest of us do. He was a human being. But for the most part, he worshiped God and believed in Him and was faithful to Him. He prayed to God, and God answered his prayers. He prayed according to God's will. The Lord tested him, tested Abraham in Genesis 12, by calling him, or later he called him in Genesis 12, called him out to go to a far country that he would show him. And later he asked Abraham, or actually commanded him, to sacrifice his own son, his only son, the son of his flesh, who was the promised one, that was Isaac, even though he had two sons whom he and Sarah had gotten by going against God's will. But Isaac was the promised son to him, through whom God told him that he would bless him and make him the father of many nations. But then God asked him to sacrifice that son. And Abraham, believing in God and trusting God, believing that God was almighty, all-powerful, and that could even raise Isaac back from the dead, if necessary, he went through following the Lord and was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. God tested him, even though God knows everything. He knew how Abraham would react and what he would do. But he tested Abraham and showed Abraham himself what God could do and strengthened Abraham's trust in the Lord in this. At the last moment, when Abraham was about to kill his son at God's request, at God's command, as a sacrifice, the Lord stopped him from doing that, sent an angel to stop the knife. The angel of the Lord stopped him from striking his son and killing him. But Abraham had real faith, because even going up the mountain, when Isaac asked him, "Where is the sacrifice?" Abraham responded by saying that he believed that the Lord, that God, him would provide himself a sacrifice. And that was a reference to also something that would happen in the future, that God provided himself, his own son, Jesus, to be a sacrifice for us, to pay the debt for our sins. God rewarded Abraham for his obedience, for his loyalty, for his worship. Abraham built altars and worshiped God. When he prayed according to God's will. He obeyed the Lord. Sarah was also obedient to the Lord, and God blessed her as well. And there are so many other biblical characters who believed in God and trusted him, even though they were afraid, like Moses, Joshua and Caleb, like Gideon, so many others, even Esther and Deborah. God wants us to pray to him, ask for what we need. Sometimes he gives us things that we don't, that we didn't really ask for. He gives us better than we could ask for, because we didn't know exactly what we needed. We didn't know what was good for us. And many times he will bless us with a great abundance, give us over and above what we need. Do you pray asking God for general things and just say, "Bless me with this," or "Bless me with that," generally? Or, "Lord, I want a financial increase. I can't pay my bills. I need a financial increase." Or do you ask him for a specific amount for specific bills to be paid? Do you ask for specific blessings for your children? Do you pray for blessings over them? Do you pray in God's name, in the name of Jesus, according to God's will? God says that the Bible tells us, God actually tells us in the Bible, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of course, that goes for women as well. Do you pray fervently? Do you pray earnestly? Do you pray with all your heart, with passion to the Lord? And do you pray continually? He tells us to pray continually. We should pray for all things all the time. And that doesn't mean that we have to say the same prayers over and over and over again and pray 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day. But we should begin the morning praying to the Lord. We should start by worshiping Him. We can worship Him by singing to Him. We can worship Him by reading the scriptures back to Him, by praying. We can worship Him by the way we live our lives, by trying to follow the example of Jesus and asking for what we need according to His will and His plan and His purpose for us, and asking Him what is it that He wants us to do, and offering ourselves, our lives to Him, committing ourselves to Him, submitting ourselves to Him. Because, of course, there's another force in this world that wants us to do the opposite of what God wants. It's the force of evil, Satan, the evil one, the enemy, the adversary. He's the enemy of God, and so he is our enemy as well. Because we belong to God, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God Jehovah and follow Him and dedicate our lives to living for Him and worshiping Him, making that effort to do things God's way, to do His will His way, and to try and be a good example to our families, to our children, our grandchildren, and so on, and raise them to know God, to know His will, that the word of, that the Bible is the word of God to us, and we should follow it. That's what makes us enemies to Satan, because he hates God. He wants to destroy us because we belong to God. The evil that goes on in the world, the killing, the raping, all of those things, that is evil. God doesn't cause all of those things to happen. Men and women, we commit sins, we commit crimes, because we use our free will to do that. God doesn't cause people to be murdered. He doesn't cause women and children, little girls and little boys as well, to be raped. Those things happen because evil people or people use their free will, which God has given them, to do evil things. We choose to do good or to do evil. Men are doing those things because of the evil influence. Those thoughts and those thoughts come to us from Satan. But God gave us free will, and we are to take our thoughts captive. He tells us, take our thoughts captive. Take each and every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. We can choose to think on those things or not to think on them. When thoughts come into our mind to do what we know is wrong, we don't need to continue thinking about them. We can choose not to think about them. When we focus on them and entertain those thoughts, continue to think about them, we imagine them in our minds, we see ourselves doing those things, and it goes on from there, and we wind up doing them because we chose to think about them, to entertain the idea of doing it. It's, for example, sexual sin, thinking about sexual fantasies. We can control our thoughts. God gave us the ability to do that, and He tells us that no matter what we are tempted with, no matter what temptations come into our minds, He has given us the power to control those. He always gives us a way of escape. We can't say, I did that because Satan made me do it, or I did that because I didn't have any choice. It's just human nature. Yeah, human nature, yes, but it's not true that we don't have a choice. If we need to make our choice not to commit those sins, not to commit crimes, before the opportunity appears. So when we begin to have the thoughts, we need to recognize that as an evil thought, as something wrong. Where did the thought, we need to ask ourselves, where did that thought come from? Is that from God or is that from Satan? Is it evil? Is it good or is it bad? Is that a crime? Is that something that God would want me to do? Is that something I would want my family to know that I did? Is that going to be pleasing to my husband or my wife or my children? Is that something I want my mother or father to know that I did? We can choose to stop thinking about that and switch our thoughts to something else. We can focus on God. We can do other things to occupy our minds so as not to continue thinking on it. We can sing a song or do whatever it is that will please us and occupy our minds to help us avoid that thing. If we think on God, sing a song to God, quote a scripture, say a prayer to God, we cannot entertain that evil thought at the same time. It's like changing the channel on with a remote control on the TV from something that we don't want to watch to something that's pleasurable that we do want to watch. Or nowadays, there are so many other things with the computer. There are so many things on the internet that we should not see or hear. And many of us get ourselves into trouble with those things. We need to change the channels, make a choice not to do that and to replace it with something else. If we just empty our minds, that's not a good thing. Because Satan will fill our mind with something else. If we want to avoid thinking about evil things, then we need to replace that, thinking about godly things, reading scriptures, praying to the Lord, singing songs or listening to songs about the Lord, praise and worship songs or whatever, pleasant things, good and godly things, those things that are of good report. It's like thinking about our children. Is there some behavior that your child does that you know is wrong? Or maybe not, in some cases, it may not necessarily be wrong, but something that you don't like, that you don't think is appropriate. Do you just tell the child to stop doing it and expect the child never to do it again? Or do you introduce something else that they can do, that they can find pleasure in, to help them avoid doing the unwanted behavior? And how do you pray for that child? Do we pray just for the things that we want? Do we pray asking the Lord to help that child to know the will of God and to do it? We should always ask ourselves, what would God want? What does God want us to do? How should we behave in a certain situation? And how should we train our children to behave themselves? If we don't train them at home, they will learn from someone else out in the world. And today they're being trained in schools to be accepting of things that we don't agree with. So if we don't train our children at home, even teachers in school will train them to do, some teachers in some schools will train them to do some things that are wrong, that are contrary to our beliefs. And we have a responsibility to train our children. The Lord tells us in the Bible that if we train up our children in the way that they should go when they are young, when they are old, they will not depart from it. That if they know the right thing, if we have trained them to know the right thing to do, the godly thing, even if they rebel for a while, when they are older, usually they will come back to what they know is right, what they were trained in by their parents at home when they were young, or in church or wherever. But we cannot put off all the responsibility on the schools and churches. We can all see what's happening in the world today. Times have changed so much since we were children, and especially a great deal more since our parents were children. What do you want your children to know? What do you want them to believe? How do you want them to behave themselves and to train their children in the future? Do you often think about what the world is going to be like in another 20 years or 40 years? You may think, oh, well, I'll be dead and gone by then. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. It will matter to your children, to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. None of us can tell how long this earth is going to be around and what the condition of it will be when our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are here after we are gone. What would you like it to be like? And do you pray for that? The Lord tells us in the Bible that we shouldn't make plans saying, next year we're going to do this or that, we're going to go to such and such a city, such and such a place, and stay a year and prosper, do this or that, whatever. We should say, if God is willing. So the Lord wants us to pray according to His will. Again, because He knows everything that's going to happen in the future. He knows the end from the beginning. He can see it all, and He knows what's best for us. And we should live our lives to please God. But because He made us for His pleasure, He created us for His pleasure, to worship Him, to be in fellowship with Him. And He is our provider and also our Heavenly Father, as well as our God and our King, our Savior. He tells us that He is the potter and we are the clay. And if you make something, you can make it however you please. He made us to please Himself. And we all have complaints about things that we don't like about ourselves or our lives, whether it's our appearance or our physical attributes or our gifts and talents, our skills. We may not like our figure or our hair, the color of our eyes or whatever. But God made us the way that He chose to make us. And He wants us to be grateful for what we have, what He's given us. He does not want us to compare ourselves to other people and to be envious of others and to want what they have. Especially, He does not want us to be covetous of other people and their possessions and their physical attributes, their prosperity. The Lord has a plan for each one of us. He has a will and a plan and a purpose for each of us, and He's given each of us special gifts and talents. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, He gives us a spiritual gift, and maybe more than one. And we are to ask Him to show us what that is. There are other people around us who can tell us what our spiritual gifts are as we spend time in fellowship with them. So we should pray for that as well and for our children. And we can find the will of God, again, by praying to Him and asking Him and by reading the scriptures. Once we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to read His word and do what it says. And He speaks to us in the scriptures. He can speak to each of us in a different way. But the Lord will speak to our heart when we read His word. He leads us and guides us by His Holy Spirit. His Spirit speaks to our spirit. And we're told in the Bible that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit power, lives in us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. His Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Is there anything in particular you want to ask the Lord to speak to you about? If you come to Him honestly and speak to Him and ask Him, confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, ask Him if you don't believe in God, ask Him if He's real to reveal it to you. He will do that if you come to Him honestly, earnestly asking, seeking Him. He says, if we seek Him, we will find Him. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one and be careful which one you get. It's difficult to know in the beginning if you don't know the Lord. There are many people who think that Jesus Christ is not God. Many people think that some denominations who teach that God, that Jesus is just one of the gods, that there are many gods, and that Jesus is just one of the little gods. As a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord God. He is the one and only true living God, the Creator God. He's the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and one God. And so I would recommend the New King James translation of the Bible, or the NIV, or the English Standard Version of the Bible. There are many to choose from. The bottom line is, you need to receive the Lord as your Savior in order to be able to understand the Bible. If you will confess your sins to God, ask for forgiveness, He will send His Holy Spirit to live in your heart. And He, as Jesus said, will be your comforter and your guide, your teacher. And He will reveal truth to you. Ask Him to speak the truth to you. Would you do that? And then teach your children and your grandchildren, and teach them how to pray according to the will of God, asking in Christ Jesus' name. That's asking according to His will, because God will not do anything that's contrary to His holy nature. And also He tells us not to worry about things, but come to Him and ask for what we need. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, He tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, that's Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And I just read from the New Living Translation. So ask God for what you need. He already knows, but He wants you to come to Him and tell Him, to speak to Him, to pray to Him from your heart, because He wants to be in communication with us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. He tells us also, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's in 1 Peter 5:7, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7. He tells us in Psalms 34:17-18, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34, chapter 34, verses 17 through 18. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. We can never be righteous on our own. What this is talking about is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And the way to be righteous, to be deemed righteous, is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, to confess our sins to God, trust in Him by faith. As we are saved by grace, by the grace of God through faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to believe in Him by faith, trust by faith that He is real, that this is true. And even faith, we can't drum up faith on ourselves, on our own. Even faith is a gift from God. So ask Him. I encourage you to ask Him to reveal the truth to you. And He tells us again to pray always without ceasing. We need to pray all the time, throughout our day, about whatever is going on, whether we're driving our kids to school, going to work, whatever is happening, we can pray about it. You don't have to pray for an hour. You can say a short prayer, asking God, what is His will in this? What is His will in that? What should I do about this, Lord? I think this is what You want me to do. Is this true? If not, Lord, will You stop me from doing this? Will You close the door? Whatever. And thank Him. Being thankful and humble, He tells us, God tells us in the Bible, that He hates pride, but He blesses the humble. And not to take credit for God's work, not to take credit for what God has done, because we can't do anything on our own. Ask Him to show you His will. God wants to bless us and our children. He gives us our children as precious gifts to raise them up to know Him, to train them to love God and to serve Him. And we need to model that behavior, loving God, living our lives for God, because our children are going to do what they see us do, not necessarily what we tell them to do. And we know that early on from little children when they first start saying no, 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 and me, 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 and mine, mine, mine. It's human nature to do what we want instead of what God wants. He tells us that our hearts, the human heart, is deceitfully wicked, and we can't even know our own hearts, but God does. So we need to search for God, seek after Him. When we begin to seek the Lord, He will come to us. And again, ask Him for whatever you need. Pray and let Him know what you need and ask Him what is His will in each situation. He will come to you and He will provide for you and show you His will. If you really want to know it, He will show you His will. And again, God is full of grace and mercy and love and favor and goodness. But He must punish sin. There are consequences for our sins. He blesses us for our obedience, but punishes us for sin. There's a consequence for our actions. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with me. I'd like to read from the Bible. And I want to tell you again that prayer is precious. It's that we have a great privilege of being able to pray to God and have Him respond to us. And know that God will answer our prayers. And we are to train our children. We're to train them in God's ways. We're to pray for each other. He tells us in the Bible we should pray for all people. We should pray for our country, for those who run our countries. We need to pray for those people who are making the laws and those who are enforcing the laws, for those who decide if our country is going to go to war or not. We need to pray for them that they will know the will of God and that they will do it for us and for our children, for all those people that we love. We need to pray according to God's will and pray that we will know the will of God and that we will have the courage to do it. If we go our own way and look for just the things that we want and lust after the things that we want without considering what God wants, we bring trouble and pain and suffering upon our own selves. Many of the problems that we have, the suffering that we go through, a lot of the trauma and hard times that we have are because we're doing things our way instead of God's way. Recently, someone asked me to pray for something that I knew was not according to God's will. And when I mentioned this to this person, trying to let them know in a loving manner, in a gentle way, because the Lord tells us when we see someone who is sinning, going the wrong way, we should restore them in the spirit of love and gentleness, not in a critical manner. But this person didn't want to hear what the Lord has to say and accused me of being critical and condemning, which is not my intention at all. And so I saw that the person was not going to receive what I had to say. That person did not want to hear what God says about what they were doing. And so I told them, I need to tell you the truth. You can make your own decision. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you what God says about what you're doing, and I will pray for you. And so I could not pray the way this person wanted me to pray, and this is someone I love and care about, people I know whom I love. And so I told them, I will pray for you. I prayed for God's will. And I would like to read tonight from the book of Colossians from chapter 1. And I prayed for these people. And I pray for myself, for my children and my grandchildren, for those people I love I pray Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14, that they will know the will of God and they will do it. So now I'm going to read from the book of Colossians chapter 1, and I hope you'll read along with me, and I think we'll have time for a short prayer afterward. So I'm reading now from Colossians chapter 1. And tonight I'm reading from this translation is the English Standard Version. And so I'd like to say a short prayer first. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord God Almighty, I ask you to please empty us of ourselves now and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. I ask you to please enlighten our minds and illuminate your word to us. Please help us understand your holy scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. I ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Now here's Colossians. Again, this is Colossians chapter 1. And this is Paul writing to the people of Colossae. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, that gospel which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, as is being fruit and growing, as in bearing fruit, and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the saints. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that is everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled to his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all this, with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That's from the gospel. That's Colossians chapter 1. And so I pray again for all those people. I love what's contained here in verses 9 through 14. That they will come to know the will of God. That they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's an excellent prayer to pray for anyone. And if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would like to know him, to have a personal relationship with him, and to know for sure that you will be with him in heaven when you die, I invite you to say this short prayer. What you need to do is confess your sins to God, ask for his forgiveness, repent of your sins, which means to turn away from them, and ask him to be your Savior, and trust by faith that he is God and died on the cross for you to pay the debt for your sins. Receive that as truth. So let's pray. Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I trust by faith that you are God, that Jesus is the Son of God and one with you. I trust by faith, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins, and I accept that as full payment for my sins, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and live the Christian life through me. I want to be with you in heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now what you should do is join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Read your Bible every day and do what it says. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Pray to God from your heart every day. Come to him and tell him what you need. Trust in him to provide for you. Ask him to help you live the Christian life. Tell other people about Jesus and what he's doing in your life. And don't give up. Read Ephesians chapter 6 and put on the whole armor of God every day to protect you from Satan and the evil in the world. Ask God to protect you. Live your life for God. Until next time. May you come to know the peace, the love, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ.
My sword.